Amen. Well, I'm going to just mention, you can write these down. I'm going to mention five books that I've used as reference material through the years that have been a great source of information, revelation by men that some have gone on to be with the Lord and some haven't. But the first book that I've used as reference material is called Faith and Confession. This is by Charles Capps. He's gone on to be with the Lord, but I'll share some stories that being in some of his meetings back in the early 80s, he used to share stories and things that he did at the Kenneth Copeland meetings. Second book is called Mountain Moving Faith. This is by Kenneth E. Hagin. Great material, great source of help here in this area of speaking and confession. These three books you may not be familiar with, but I've accumulated these over the years. This is called The Power of Spoken Faith. That's the name of this book. It's called The Power of Spoken Faith. It's by two authors, Don Gossett, G-O-S-S-E-T-T, and E.W. Kenyon. Great book. Another book, The Power of Your Words. Another book by Don Gossett and E.W. Kenyon. The Power of Your Words. And this last book, also another book, it's called Speak Life, : Words That Work Wonders. Again, Don Gossett and E.W. Kenyon. And I'm sure there are others, but these particular books have been a great source of just nourishing your spirit and nourishing your faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And I want to start here with this particular scripture. And it says, we having the same spirit of faith, this is Paul writing, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and of course this is referencing, for those who are Bible students, you can look at your margin, some Bibles have it, but this is referencing a scripture in Psalm 116 and verse 10. But it says here, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. That's what he's referencing. According as it is written in Psalm 116, verse 10. I believed, and therefore, what? Have I spoken? We also believe, and therefore speak. Hallelujah. And so we see here that for the Christian, we're supposed to do what? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we're to walk by faith. And of course, we know in Galatians and Hebrews and also Romans, it says the just shall do what? Live by faith. So faith is the key component here. Faith is wonderful. We get faith by hearing the word of God. But faith, I'm going to share something. I was listening to something recently by Reverend Marty Blackwelder. It was I liked the way he shared this. I've heard it, but just the way he said it. He said there are two things where faith must be. Faith must be in two places in order for faith to work. Faith must be in your heart, and faith must be in your mouth. And they must be in both places in order for faith to work. And we can see that from Mark 11:23. I know I'm jumping around a little bit here, but we're going to get to James 3 in a minute. But faith must be in those two places. And you can see from Mark 11:23, and we'll go over there in a moment, but faith must be in these two places. Must be in your heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God deposited in our hearts, formed with our mouth and spoken out, changes something. Amen. It causes things to change. And what does it say in 2 Corinthians? We're there. 2 Corinthians and verse 18, it says, while we do what? Look not at the things which what? Are seen. But at what? The things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The word of God is eternal. Faith is eternal. It's spiritual, and it will change things in this temporal, natural realm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know if that excites you, but it excites me. Amen. Because the scripture says, I'm going to read another scripture here. They may not have this, but 1 John 5:4, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and what? This is the victory that overcometh the world, what? Even our faith. So if it's in this world, it's temporal, it can be overcome by faith. Faith in God. Hallelujah. And that's exciting to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's turn over to James chapter 3, if you would. James chapter 3 and verse 1. And I'm going to read through to verse 11 because they all connect together. James chapter 3, starting in verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That just means we all shouldn't be teachers. For in many things we offend all. Excuse me here, I'm trying to keep this steady here. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. That just means a mature, fully developed man. That doesn't mean, what's the word I want to say here? It doesn't mean that you don't miss it. It just means you're fully mature. You've come to a place of maturity. You miss it less and less. It says here, and continues, and it says, and able also to bridle the whole body. Wow. Interesting, isn't it? You know, Pastor Clinton said this years ago, those that were around, he said, you find a man or a woman that's not disciplined in natural things and they're not disciplined in spiritual things. So here, we can bridle or we can bring into check or control our whole body by our mouth. Verse 3, it says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth or decides. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. So when you read this, this is indicating here, hell can inspire your tongue. Yes. But I would also say heaven can inspire your tongue too. Yes. Amen. Heaven can inspire our tongue with good words, the word of God. Verse 7, and for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. That just means I can't tame your tongue. That's what that really means. You can control your own tongue, but I can't. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be, or these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? And we know the answer to that. No. So that means you can't speak blessing and expect a curse. That means you can't speak a curse and expect a blessing. Can't happen. This is what this is saying. And so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So you can see here that if you put a bit in a horse's mouth, I remember as a young child, when we lived out in Illinois, I rode horses, sometimes bareback. But we still had a rein. You still had something to steer it. Otherwise, good luck. But the same point, you can steer that whole horse in the direction. Now you think about this, a horse has a soul. It could decide where it wants to go, but the rider decides, no, we're not going that direction. We're going this direction, right? And the ship, as large as that ship is, can be turned by a very small rudder, and it says in the scripture, even in fierce winds, wherever the governor listeth, wherever that person at the helm steering the ship decides to go, that's where we're going. So that means today, put it in today's vernacular. How many drive a car? Well, if you drive a car, it's got what in it? A steering wheel. So you decide where you want to go. If you want to go to New York City, you're not heading to Albany. And if you're heading to Albany, you're not going, I want to go to New York City. Turn the wheel, dummy. Turn it in the direction what you want to go. So that's the point. If there are issues and circumstances in life that you're facing, we're not to talk about the problem. We're to change and talk what? To it. If you want to change the direction, think they can put this up. James chapter 3 and verse 2 in the NIV, it says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. That means you can keep your whole body in check by what you say. That's quite a, some folks might not, maybe hard for your brain to wrap around that, but we can control our bodies with our words. The word says we can. Let me ask this question. That means that we can control habits, addictions, we can control those, we can keep our whole body in check by our words. That means our words have control over our addictions and appetites. I just got to have another plate of food. Well, no, you don't. You can say, I'm not. You choose to put that KFC over your lips or that other plate of whatever it is that you enjoy, you decide. And you can control what you decide with your words. I'm not going to do that. Do you want it? Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. I really want it. But I'm not going to. And you decide. And the point is that you can change the desires of your flesh by what you say. You can begin to say, I desire good things in my body. I'm delivered from this, whatever it is. You know, some people struggle with smoking. Some people, Christians or non-Christians, they struggle with other things. Alcohol, smoking, pornography, lust, whatever that is. You can control that and put it under wraps or put it in check by saying, I'm delivered from this. I'm delivered from smoking. I'm delivered from alcohol. I'm delivered from lustful thoughts. I'm delivered from whatever it is you're delivered from. And you say it until you see it. Your confession must precede your possession. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. What's the evidence? Your faith-filled words are the evidence of things not seen. So those are the things that we need to grasp a hold of. So let's, there was another scripture here, the NIV, also... Let me look at the New Living Translation. They can put up in verse 2 of James 3. It says, indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. So we can control our appetites and our desires by the words that we say. A lot of times, if you just spend some time listening to people, they're snared. Proverbs 6:2 says we're snared by the words of our mouth. I can't, or I want, or I need should not be in our vocabulary. It gets quiet when we talk about this. You know, I can't do that. I can't quit. I can't stop eating. I can't. You say it so much that you're living it out. You're snared by your words. And so these are the things that, you know, if we're in that place at this point in life, begin to make the corrections. It's a process. It took time for you to get into that snare. And there's a scripture that says that, well, I'll turn over there in a minute. Let me not get ahead here. Let me read Mark 11:23. Why don't you turn over there for a minute, Mark 11:22 and 23. They have Mark 11:23. They'll put it up. But I want to make a point of just... looking at Mark 11:22. And this is after Jesus cursed the fig tree. And his disciples, calling Jesus to remembrance, said, hey, look at the tree you spoke to yesterday, or cursed. It's withered up and died. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God, as some of the margins say. So what we now, the verses that follow, are highlighting what the faith of God is. Have the faith of God. And verse 23, what does it say? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever... that's us, shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that you say or saith shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you saith. Hallelujah. So this here, they can put up the Weymouth translation. It says here, in solemn truth I tell you that if any one of you or anyone shall say to this mountain, remove and hurl thyself into the sea, and has no doubt about it in his heart. See, this is what we're talking about. It's got to be in your heart. And but steadfastly believes that what he says will happen, it will be granted him. So how does faith work? It's got to be in your heart, and it's got to be in your mouth. Faith-filled words. What faithful words? The things that you believe in your heart. They have to be in agreement. And they can put up the Johnson translation. I like this particular translation. In verse 23, it says, truly, anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder, saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, that person will actualize his statement. That's key. A lot of times, see, this business of becoming separated from what is in our heart, our statement becomes separated from what's in our heart. Faith won't work. What do we point back to? Jesus said, have the faith of God. And having the faith of God means what? Believing in your heart and saying with your mouth and not becoming separated from that. I heard something, there was an interview of Pat Harrison, who was Brother Hagin's daughter. And she was married to Buddy Harrison, who went home to be with the Lord. But the wife of Ed Dufresne was interviewing her, and she asked her, you know, what was significant? What are the things that you saw your dad do when he went through tough times, very difficult times? And she said, I knew, and this was Pat Harrison's response, she said, he told me to do three things when you're going through tough situations in life. Keep your mouth shut. Zip it, in other words, is what her dad told her. Keep your mouth closed. Pray more in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues more. And only say those things that the Holy Spirit tells you to say. Why is that significant? Because if you look at Mark 11:23, it does not say we're to talk to God about the mountain. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say we're to talk to God about the mountain. It doesn't say we're to talk to people about the mountain. It doesn't say that. It says, and we're not to talk about the mountain. We're to talk to the mountain, right? Those are significant things. We're not supposed to talk about the problem. We're supposed to talk to the problem. And a lot of times, and I include myself in this is a life process where as we grow, the Holy Spirit will say, don't do that anymore. See, we're not the Bible patrol. We're not supposed to be going around telling people, don't say that, don't do that, don't, you know, husbands and wives, don't be telling your wife and husband, don't do that, don't say that, you know, shut up, don't do, you know how you do. The ones that laugh, you know what I mean. But we are to do what? Let the Holy Ghost reveal to each individual. He's what? The teacher of the church. because you may not be at a place to receive, or you may not see it. You may be stuck in a place. And only let the Holy Ghost, if the Spirit of God stirs your heart and prompts you to say something, well, then say it. That's different. You know, I've said some things, you know, Pastor Greg will be going on saying something, and I'll go, why are you saying that? You're stuck in that place. Why are you saying that? He may not like hearing it. But after a while, I'll come back and say, you know what? I needed to hear that. And he does the same with me. We check each other. See, you need to be able to be open to at least somebody say something to you instead of you keep stuck in a rut, right? Because you will possess what you confess. You know, as many millions of dollars are being paid and spent by motivational, for people to go hear motivational speakers, we've got the one who was our motivation, who redeemed us and gave us these principles here in the Word of God to live by. What does it say in Joshua 1:8? He told them. He said, don't let this book of the law depart where? Out of your mouth. But meditate therein day and night. What else does he say? That you may do what? That you may observe to do all that is written therein. Then you're going to make your way prosperous. See? And have good success. So our success, you could say, is in our mouth, speaking the Word of God. And as we continue to do that and stick with it, little by little, little by little, little by little, we're not talking, what is a ship? Does a ship, anybody been on a ship? Ships don't do 180s. If they do, I ain't on it. Now, a speedboat, that's different. But a ship, it takes time to change direction. And the same thing with our life. We've been saying things some kind of way or one way for so long. It takes time to change the momentum of things that have been put in motion. Sometimes we put some things in motion that it takes time to change that, change the direction of that, because we've put some things in motion. I heard Brother Hagin say this one time. He said that he went to pray for somebody, and I've heard this others, you know, it came out in the news afterwards, even about Michael Jackson. You know, he passed away, as unfortunate as that was. Lisa Presley shared some things that got out in the news that said when they sat together, when she was married to him, and they sat face to face in a private, you know, just a personal setting, he said, I'm not going to live past this age. And he didn't. Came out of his heart. And he put some things in motion in his life. And these are the kind of things that you don't realize is that you start saying some things. You put things in motion. Will you see it immediately? As you become more perfected in your faith, in your words, things happen quicker. But it could take years for you to see something, and you go, what is this? And you look back 30 or 40 years, and you've been saying it and saying it and saying it here and there, and you put some things in motion in your life. Well, that's hell inspiring your tongue. How about letting heaven inspire my tongue that I'm blessed? My house is blessed. My finances are blessed. Am I going to see all of that immediately? Probably not. But over time, little by little, little by little, little by little, I'm going to come up and up and up and up and up, and I'm going to walk in supernatural health. I'm going to walk in supernatural blessings. I'm going to walk in supernatural favor of God, because what? I've put some things in motion with my words. Because I didn't become separated from what I believe in God's word. I believe God, but then you might be saying something else. You might be talking about what? What you see. What did it say? Looking not at the things which are seen, but the things that are unseen. That's the thing. Don't talk about what you see. Don't talk to people about problems. Don't talk about the problem. Talk to the problem. How do we talk to it? I'm blessed. I'm blessed. My bank accounts are full. You know, I talk about, sometimes I share some things. I shared this. You've heard me share this a number of times. It helps me because the more I share it, it brings light and it brings strength to me. But the Lord spoke to me many years ago and he said, if you will work the word in the area of finances, like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. And so what does that mean? Does it mean I'm going to see it immediately? No, but he said, begin to work the word of God in the area of finances in your life like you're doing in the area of healing in your life. What was I doing? Saying, speaking to my body. Every tissue, every organ of my body functions in the perfection of God. I forbid any malfunction in my body. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I'm blessed. I'm healed. I'm strong. Right? You work that and do the same thing in your finances. Quote the scriptures. Quote the promises of God concerning your finances. And so I did that. I began to do that. I began to say all the time, every day, my bank accounts are full. Everything I touch is blessed. Money comes to me. There are no dry seasons for me. Money overflows me and fills my bank accounts. And one day I was home and I heard this in my spirit. Buy Apple stock. This is years ago. And I knew it was the Holy Ghost. You know, when you hear his voice, you know. His children know his voice. But I'm going to say this, I didn't play the stock market. I didn't get the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. I didn't study it. But he knows how to do what? Get money to you and fulfill and make come to pass what you're saying. He knew how to do it. That's why I say we don't. There's nothing wrong with doing those things. But maybe the money that's coming to you doesn't come through the stock market. Maybe it's buying something. Maybe it's buying some property or some house or whatever. He knows how to get that money and fill your bank accounts. You confess it, forget the method. See, we're stuck on methods. You know how we do. Just confess that you're blessed. Confess that my bank accounts are full. Confess that my cupboards are full. And so what happened? I didn't buy the stock. I wavered. It was $40 a share. Ooh, I have to take a deep breath every time I think about it. Ugh. But I learned something. $40 a share, and I had a good chunk of money sitting in my bank account to go, chum. And I didn't. You know what that stock went up to? 700. And it split. He was trying to do what? Fill my bank account. With what? Money. Because he knew my heart would take it and invest it in the kingdom of God. Not consume it upon my own lust. And that's all I'm trying to say, is that release your words. Talk about the promises of God. Hallelujah. We're not slaves to the devil anymore. We're not a slave. Here's another thing. We are not slaves to men. We are what? Disciples of the Most High God. Yes, you may have a job, but you're not a slave anymore. You are redeemed. I've been delivered from the power of darkness. And I'm under God's kingdom principles. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 20 and 21. These are familiar scriptures, but I'm telling you, if you will take these principles and work them, you will not lack for one thing in your life. Amen. Not one. Amen. You won't lack. Amen. Proverbs 18 and verse 20 in the King James Version. It says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with what? The fruit of his mouth. That means you could say the produce, or the produce of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So does it matter what we say? It's either life or death, blessing or cursing. Words are like seeds. They must be planted in order to what? Produce. Where is it being planted? In your heart. Hallelujah. And then it needs to be watered. So those words produce something that comes out of your mouth. That's the produce. Things that come out of your heart. So God's word is what? It's conceived in the heart, formed with the tongue, spoken out of the mouth, and it begins to do what? It releases the ability of God in this natural realm. Hallelujah. So when you look at this here, when it, verse 20, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. What is shall be? It's future tense. That means, think about this now, something that's future tense, that means that something happens before something else happens. So that means your confession, your speaking, must precede the possession of something. That's what we've been talking about. This says here, a man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of your lips. So that means that must precede. The fruit of your lips must precede your belly being satisfied. You've got to confess something to possess it. Amen. It's got to be done that way. Hallelujah. So the increase of your lips must come first before you're filled. Amen. Has to be. Glory to God. You must talk increase. You've got to talk increase and everything you do. That's why when you know, you hear us call and speak things, you might say, well, why are they doing that? They've been doing that for however long. We're doing what God said when we call in $80,000 a week. It says to call those things that what? Be not. You will have not if you don't speak it. And so I'm one to follow the scriptures, and we call in those things. Now, we didn't set the amount. That's something that God spoke to our hearts. But the principle of speaking it before we possess it is key. Got to possess, you got to speak it. Now, the NIV of Proverbs 18 in verse 20 and 21, it says, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those that love it will eat its fruit. The New Living Translation, it says, wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Yeah. I'm thinking of something in corporate America. We were somewhere at a very high level meeting with the CEO of the corporation, and this person I worked with wanted to make fun of his secretary in front of his CEO and make fun of her Boston accent. That was the last for him. He acted the fool, see? So he kept talking, and he got some consequences. They don't have this, but the complete Jewish Bible, it says, a person's belly will be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With what his lips produce, he will be filled. With what his lips produce, he will be filled. That means with life or death filled words, you will be filled. And the scripture says that you will be satisfied. So that means people that speak death filled words or negative words become satisfied with that. How many have been around people that talk negative, 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 and they're satisfied with it? It's almost like they're stuck, and you go, don't they hear that? They're satisfied with it. Their belly is satisfied with it. And that's unfortunate. Let me share a few stories. This is back in the early 80s. I used to go to a number of Kenneth Copeland meetings back in the early 80s. And Charles Capps would always be one of the main featured speakers. And he used to talk. That's why I say some of these books that I've acquired, principles and stories, were very impactful to me. Because he lived them. He said, this was what he used to, this is a couple of stories he used to say. He said, I used to like to hunt. And he said, I would go out in the woods and I liked to hunt deer. Not me, but Charles Capps. And he liked to hunt deer. I don't like to hunt. So anyways, he said, I would acquire or get poison ivy from being out in the woods. And he said, I began to work these principles. He said, my body would be covered with poison ivy. So he said, I'd go to the store and get some calamine lotion. I'd slather it all on. But while I'm doing that, I'm speaking to my body, and I'm saying, my body is healed of poison ivy. Yes. And he said, I did that and did that and did that and did that and did that. And he said, over a period of time, he said, my body became less prone to get it. He said, to the point where I could go, and he said, I could grab poison ivy on a tree and just pull it off the leaves and not any side effect. Nothing. But he didn't start there. What does it say? We shall eat the fruit thereof based on the words that we say. He said it didn't happen overnight. It took a long time, but he said he would go out in the woods and not get poison ivy. He said another story, he said he liked to fish. And he said he'd go out in the boat with a bunch of guys, and they'd be on one side of the boat, and they're catching, you know, nothing. He's on the other side of the boat calling the fish to his side of the boat. Now, you may laugh, but that's what he did. And he said he's catching all the fish, and they're getting upset. Can we go on your side? He said, sure, I'll switch. And he said he started calling the fish to his side. See, we all laugh, but he worked a principle in the Word of God. And he said he would catch the fish. Now, I don't know if they ever wised up, but I suspect they did. But the point we're making today is that our economic recovery, our marriage recoveries, our personal recoveries are going to come from your mouth. If you're walking through something, you're walking through challenges, it didn't say it was going to be comfortable, but we have the process and the method to walk out of it and to walk in the blessings of God and the peace of God. What does it say in Philippians? It says, be not anxious or be not anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall do what? It shall garrison about or help you, right? And then it says, think on these things. Think on those things that are lovely and are pure and of a good report. Don't think on and don't talk about the problem. Talk to the problem with the word of God. What happened? Jesus was tempted in every way like we are, and he didn't sin. Do you think that he was tempted when the devil came to him and said, if you'll just bow down and worship me, he said, I'll give you all of these riches. I think, and all of this, he said, don't you think he was tempted? Oh, yes, he was tempted. He had to be, because the scripture says he was. But what did he turn around and say? It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And that should be our calling card, so to speak, to a problem. It is written. Amen. Amen. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Before you experience more, you must talk more, or you must talk more increase. Yes. Not decrease, not problem. You know, I just say it in this way, that in the natural, you may not have all of the talents and the gifts and the abilities to have something, to own something, to do something. But God has given us the formula right here that we can do. It says, I can do some things. I can do all things who? Through Christ who strengthens me. You know, it's interesting when you read of some of the people that have gone on before us. If you ever look up on this person, Letourneau, look up his life and his story. He designed and developed the, what do you call it, one of these devices where they scoop up dirt. What do they call that? No, it wasn't a tractor. Earth mover, they call them. It was a long gadget with big wheels and a scoop on it would scoop up dirt. He had over 300 inventions, some of which haven't even been, you know, used or whatever, but he had 300 inventions, and he would pray and seek God's wisdom. Think about the people. Look at Carver Washington. Look at all of the people that have gone on before us that got wisdom from God, yes. Right? And that's all we're talking about. Release your faith-filled words in God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to kind of cut it here because there's more. But let me just give you a few scriptures here as we close. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. They'll put these up. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. In the King James, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, or you could say confession. The Good News Translation says, my Christian friends, who also have been called by God, think of Jesus, whom God sent to be the high priest of the faith we profess. I like that. And then Hebrews 4:14, It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast, what? To our profession, or you could say confession. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith with what? Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. What could we say, let us hold fast? That means don't change. Don't change. Be consistent. Lamentations. I'm just going to skip here ahead. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 37. They'll put it up. You got Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. So you have Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 37. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? Huh. Yeah. This is the NIV. Who can speak and have it happened if the Lord has not decreed it? Amen. Yeah. See? The Amplified, it says, who is he who speaks and it comes to pass if the Lord has not authorized and commanded it? See? What does it say? I believe it's in 2 Corinthians in the first chapter. It says, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. So in Christ, they're authorized. And I can decree them and expect them to come to pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me see here. I've got a couple of other scriptures here. Yeah, Job 22. This is a familiar scriptures. Job 22, we'll finish with this. Job 22, 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. You've got to decree it, and you shall see it. Some of these principles, I know some that have been here have heard this, some that maybe don't hear it as often, or maybe you're not applying it in your life. You know, it's like those that like to exercise and those that don't. How many like to exercise? That's what I figured. Nah, some of us. But then if you said, gee, I really like to exercise. Well, you may make yourself exercise, but how many have been this route? I have. You start off not liking to exercise, but you make yourself exercise, and then after a while, what happens? I really like this. I look forward to getting into exercising, right? So you put this flesh down and you put it under control. And it's the same thing. Sometimes speaking, the mind will say, ah, what a waste of time. I don't see anything. You're saying something for 5 months, 6 months. I don't see anything. Eh. You know, that in a way is disdaining the Word of God. Because if God's word is forever settled in heaven, disdaining is taking something lightly. Eh. Well, we need to place value on that because whatever he said shall come to pass. And if we put his word in our mouth and speak it, it shall come to pass. But remember, in closing, in order for faith to work, in order for mountains to move, in order for problems to change, faith must be where? In your heart, and it must be in your mouth. And you cannot become disconnected or separated from what's in your heart. Your words have to be in agreement. That's what the scripture says. Shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, you'll have it. You will have it. I'll make this one statement in closing. Brother Hagin, when he would teach on these principles, he said there was a young man who was in his 20s at the time that began to take these principles and work them and work them and work them and work them. And I don't remember if he said he either took $50 or $500. Whatever it was not a lot of money. And he began to work these principles of faith and confession. And he got to the place where he became a multi-millionaire, had his own private jets to fly on. And he began to, God led him at that time, this is years and years ago, to buy real estate. And God would lead him to places that he became very, very wealthy as a young person. And he became that by applying these principles. I'm not saying everybody's going to be that way, but what I am saying is that if you begin to apply these principles, you will not lack for any good thing in this life, in your health, in your marriage, in your life, your finances, nothing, your health. You will not lack. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this word today. We purpose to apply it to our lives. And we thank you, Father, that we are blessed. Our houses are blessed. Our families are blessed. Our children are blessed. We thank you that no weapon formed against us can prosper. We thank you, Father, that our bank accounts are full. We thank you that no matter what happens in this earth realm, we're not confined by it. We're not restricted by this government and what it decides to supply or not supply. We are not under a particular political party, but we are under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you that we are free. Yes. We are free to worship you in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm telling you, if you will take an area of your life, see, sometimes we try to fix everything. Take one area that you don't like, one area that's not working as well as you'd like it to work, whatever that is, and begin to look for the principles of God to cover that. And begin to speak blessing over it day and night, day and night, day and night, week after week, week after week. What did God say in Isaiah? He said, my words will not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I desire. It'll come to pass in your life. I'm telling you right now. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you today. Thank you, Father, for we're a free people. We're not a restricted people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I'm going to say something. Brother Hagin shared this, shared some things back in the 70s. And he said, in a vision, the Lord showed him, I don't have this prophecy in front of me, but I'll give you what the highlights were. Back in the 70s, he said, the Lord showed him in a vision three frogs that leaped out of the ocean onto this United States. And he said it represented the economics, and I believe it was either two or three, and it represented the economics, the racial issues, and there was something else. And the Lord said this to him. He said, I am going to hold my people accountable for the conditions in this country, and I'm going to hold them accountable for the decisions that the president makes. He said, I'm not going to hold the world accountable. I'm going to hold the church accountable for not praying. And it's a very sobering. He said he cried. He said, oh, God. So a lot of times when there are issues that we see and hear in the news, and we see things, and I'm becoming more sensitive, it's a carrot to be drawn into, and we all have what I would call, you know, ideas or opinions, but what I'm grasping is that our opinions need to be his opinion, his thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And if we want something to change in this earth realm, it needs to be spoken to and prayed about. Amen. That's what 1 Timothy says. We're to pray for all men, for kings and all those who are in authority, that what? We may lead a quiet and peaceable life. And if we're not, and the things that are going down that are not pleasing to God, he's not going to hold the devil's crew accountable, because he's given us his word that can change things. Amen. Glory to God. It's a sobering thought, but what it tells us is that God places a high value on the new created being, us, what you are, and who you've become in Christ. You are his body. And he's placed us here in this earth with keys to speak. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose or allow on earth, heaven allows. If we don't like something, the church needs to come. That's why the devil fights unity so much. He does not want the church to come together, because when the church comes together with a unified purpose, his hips will be done with. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I hope you got a little something to think about here. And not just think about, take these principles, just like Charles Capps did. If there's something in your life, you know, I think about this, you know, I see some of the young girls up here singing. Some are thinking about college. They're thinking about those things now. Begin to say with your mouth, God's leading me to the college of my choice. And begin to speak it and begin to say things. I'm thinking about the McFarlanes and what they said is that their children, they said, we will never pay one dime for our college, children's college education. We will not pay one dime. And they began to confess that and say it and say it and say it and say it. And they had two boys go through West Point. Didn't pay a dime. They had one girl go through college and has since gone through Harvard and so forth, working as a lawyer. Same thing. You don't have to be subject to the world's methods and ways. You can be blessed and use your money to do things instead of having to support those things God can open up doors of blessing, open up favor for things that you couldn't make happen. You couldn't make it happen. Say, amen. Glory to God.